if you can we do a few minutes for the group that is already, you know, pretty much aware of what we've been talking about and trying to take back their health as much as they can physically.
Sure.
And talk about survivability and constant education. They know about needing to do that. And I think what a lot of them deal with is, as you get more, you touched on this in the radio show, as we get more aware of what's going on in the world, it can get a little destabilizing because the scope of the conspiracy that we're not supposed to know about has reached into all levels of government and corporations that work together. And that's a definition of fascism, right? Is that the government gets corporations to do things by proxy that it's not allowed to do as a government. And the higher levels of the corporate bosses that we're not supposed to know exist tell the government what to do. And it looks a little bit daunting, or can. So what are the things that you've come across that help hold you together when you are noticing what we're up against, basically?
One of the things that I do that has proven to work is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few moments a couple of years back when, again, the higher ed thing wasn't panning out, and I would go to bed and I'd lie there and I would say, I would start off by just saying thank you,
right?
You know, for the opportunity to be alive, and
that changes everything immediately.
It really does, because they're always listening, right. and they want you to say thank you, and they want you to talk with them, and by them, of course, I mean the angels around us, and you know, our past relatives and people who have known us, who have passed on, but
unseen friends, right?
There you go. And you know, I would wake up and all of a sudden there's an email, you know, with an opportunity.
Right, right.
Or there's a couple of emails with a couple of really interesting opportunities, and I'd say thank you. Right. You know, once a person, and it's not that you're asking for anything per se, and that you're looking for something to have or to hold or whatever. But I think it's important to just be in tune with not just this world, but the afterlife, and that all of that works together.
And it exists now, not just when you so-called die, right?
Correct. Yep. It's all going on at the exact same time. And all of this is provable. That's the cool part, right? Is that things like this are provable. So me personally, I exercise. I've got a bit of a lung thing going on right now, so I don't know if it's allergies or whatever, but I exercise on a regular basis. I have since college. I continue to do that. You know, I eat the best that I can.
Right.
I pray, I read a lot. You know, I enjoy reading, I enjoy investigating, I enjoy arriving at some semblance of the truth, but I still have the ability to put it down and walk away.
You're also saying that you're aware that you're not by yourself.
Yes. Oh, you're, 100%.
You have that awareness of unseen support, no matter what you're physically in the middle of, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I listen to it because it tells me things, right. And I react to that and respond to it as best that I can.
Internal guidance.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And everybody has that.
They do. They just need to learn to, you know.
You got to be pretty quiet to listen.
You really do. Yep. And if you're like me and you've got no problem sleeping on my back in the grass under a tree for a whole afternoon, you'd be astounded as to what you can think about.
Yeah. Sometimes when your conscious mind calms down all the chatter, stuff just comes through.
Yep.
A lot of times right before you wake up in the morning.
That's right.
Times like that.
Yeah. Or you pop out of bed right at 2 a.m. and you get a thought where you have to write something, or you need to, you know,
you need
to go do this particular thing the next day.
So this is a really big, central, powerful deal about listening to internal guidance. And I would think, you know, you're so much into education that you would probably agree that if you could convey the interest and ability to do that to people, that would be a real major kind of education that you could spread.
Yeah, I think so. I think that a lot of people can relate to it because I'm not unique in that regard, which is so nice to know that there are endless individuals who think and listen and can quiet their mind throughout multiple parts of the day and still be all right. And there's sort of an old saying, although I kind of agree and yet disagree, but there's the old saying that once you've lost everything, you have nothing else to lose, kind of thing. And then I've heard other people say, well, if you have nothing else to lose, then you still have something. There's still something you can lose. And I just think I think about both of those angles, and I just think, well, you know, I've been through the ringer regarding a lot of different things, and I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at this point, when you lose all of it, it hardens you and it toughens you up.
Right.
And that's always a good thing. It's just another piece of armor that isn't bad. It's another piece of armor that makes you more vigilant.
Yeah. And you'll always be here. It's just that here changes.
Correct.
Your surroundings could vary.
Yep.
Whether you're in physical form or some other.
There you go. Yeah. But I mean, those suggestions, again, would be any suggestion that I would have for anybody is that, again, one of the, I'll give you an example that I bring up on the podcast, and I've brought it up. In fact, I brought it up on today's episode again, but there's the mentality of, you know, that when a person goes to a K-12 school, that they have to participate in sporting activities associated with the school.
Okay.
Or that they have to associate with groups that are associated or started by the school.
Right.
I've always taken the exact opposite approach, which is, although I played sports when I was in high school, but I look back on it and I think to myself, did I learn a lot about people doing that? Yes. Did I become a professional baseball player? No. Did I want to? No. But then I also look back on it and I say to myself, I wasted a lot of time with that particular activity and those activities. If I'd have just done something else, who knows? Maybe I wouldn't even be the same person that I am today. But I always encourage individuals to, and I try to do it myself in my own life as best I can, is just examine and re-examine what habits we have and what we're doing, and then trying to drop bad ones, because you never know what's on, you know, you never know what's across the way. You never know what's over that grassy hill. It could be something that's incredible, but we just have to get rid of this thing over here first. Mm-hmm. And then just sort of do our best to tune into what might take that place.
Right. And that's on two levels. One is, what are you giving your time and attention to physically in your activities? But then the other thing is, while you're doing those activities, even if it's at a job that you think is boring or whatever, what are you doing with your attention and your emotional and mental state during that time?
Right.
Right. What are you carrying around in the background?
Yeah. Like when I taught school, for example, I never ate lunch with teachers.
That's interesting. Okay.
Never did it. And the first time I did it was the last time I did it. And it was my very first day of student teaching, where the woman that I was student teaching for, she said, come on in here and eat lunch with us.
Right. It'll be incredibly inspiring and you'll be around all these amazing people and stuff.
That's right. You'll learn a lot about what goes on here and you'll learn a lot about the students and whatever. And all they did was make fun of students.
Wow.
That's all they did.
And, you know, the students don't know about that.
They do now. They do now. I told them all the time and they knew it.
Amazing.
Wow. And they knew it. They said, oh, we know what they did. We know that they make fun of us in there. And I said, well, I just wanted to let you know, I don't eat in there with them ever, never have, never will. And I said, why do you think that is? And they said, because you don't hate us.
Wow.
And I'd say, yeah.
I'm aware of a lot of this stuff, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's almost hard to imagine that anybody would find that of any interest.
There are people that love the gossip. And unfortunately, you know, that business is one of those where there are individuals who return to it to sort of relive the old days. And wow. they go back to being a K-12 school teacher because in their head, high school or middle school was the best time of their life. And, you know, they find themselves in a very destructive pattern of behavior that I personally think is destructive, but...
So it kind of raises their feeling of importance to put other people down.
For some of them, certainly not all, but
Wow, amazing. So it sounds like the message is learn to be aware of your internal guidance and listen to it, and that you've got good influence around you that you may not see at the moment.
Yeah, and say thank you.
You know what that reminds me of, and we'll stop in a minute because this is real short, but remember about the Japanese water experiment and changing the configuration of the molecules in a glass of water by what you project at the glass of water. It's the basis of the old spiritual practice of saying grace before you eat your food. Food is mostly water, and even if it wasn't, it picks up. There's no inanimate objects in the sense that they're not affected by what you're putting out. And they demonstrated scientifically that the molecules in this glass of water rearranged and made pictures that they could see if they flash froze it and put it under a microscope after projecting, I love you or I hate you or whatever. And the ones that were the most powerful were love and gratitude. And they would freeze the water into spectacular art forms just wow. by projecting that emotion onto it. The word with the thought without emotion didn't do anything. But if it had the emotion behind it, it was powerful. And it affected supposedly inanimate objects.
Interesting.
And we're doing it all the 24 hours a day.
It makes sense. Totally makes sense.
So when you're saying thank you, I mean, you're participating in that experiment. Pretty neat.
Yeah. I would agree with that. No doubt about it. And you may have heard this too. And I think in fact, you saying that reminded me, and you may know this very well, as I'm sure others do as well. But again, it's an old Chinese proverb, I think, that I heard Alan Watts, if I'm saying that correctly, repeat. And the story goes something like this, but a Chinese farmer loses a horse. And if you're aware of this, stop me, but a Chinese farmer loses a horse and the horse runs away. And the neighbors run up to the Chinese farmer and they say, your horse ran away. That's horrible. That's really unfortunate. And the farmer looks at them and says, maybe. And the next day, the horse comes back and brings with it a herd of horses. So wow. They all run up to the neighbors, run up to the farmer and they say, well, your horse returned and look at all these horses. That's incredible. And the farmer says, maybe. So the next day, the farmer has his son training these horses and he ends up getting bucked off of one of the horses and breaks his leg. The neighbors run up to the farmer and say, that's really unfortunate. Your son has broken his leg. And he says, maybe. The very next day, the Chinese government and their military show up to the farmer to take their son away to recruit him for the army against his will. And they can't take him because his leg is broken. So the neighbors run up to him and they say, "They didn't take your son. That's really fortunate." And he says, "Maybe." And that's it. Point being, you don't know. We don't know what's in store from one day to the next.
Right.
And we have to learn to take things particular ways and understand that just because something doesn't happen one particular way that we think has to happen a particular way doesn't mean that there isn't something bigger that's going on.
Well, in the show, which will be a week ago now when people hear this part, that could be what you were saying, make what you were saying about the white hats in whatever form they are, you know, Trump or anybody else that's involved in that. It could make that all in the end turn out to be true, because after you go through all the maybe stages, in the end, gifts arrive in disguise.
Yes.
And things are guaranteed to work out one way or another.
It's true.
Because like we said, there's nowhere else to go back to.
That's right.
What we have to go through in the process might vary, but there's some kind of a unique style in the ancient Chinese wisdom that was in Lao Tzu and Confucius and all these different people that I haven't seen anywhere else. And we've got the essence of all that with us all the time.
I agree with you. Yeah, so, no doubt about it.
So everybody should go and check out AmericanEducationFM.com, listen to the podcasts, and check all your books are on Amazon, I would think, right?
They are. Yep.
They don't realize the danger yet.
Although Amazon, even Amazon didn't want to publish a couple of them, so I had to go around it, but I found a way. There are ways to still get the books out there.
Good, good.
Well, I appreciate it. I really enjoyed this.
Me too. Hopefully we'll talk again. And I think basically what you're doing is rippling out because of the exposure, and people are saying, you know, the message is getting to people that they need to do their own investigation. And that's one that's not really maybe, it's definitely always a good idea. Anyway, okay, so have a good rest of the night and we'll stay in touch.
Likewise, take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.